The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Right, isn't that good? Thank you. That is so good. That's great. If you have a cell phone, we invite you to turn it off, and that way I don't get derailed. That'd be great. And Brother Lofton, if you'd help us with the hallways there, that'd be super too. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It says, look not every man to his own things, but every man also on, it says, the things of others. And of course, this is a time of remembering. This is Memorial Day. This is a time of remembering those that gave their lives for you and I so that you and I could be able to enjoy the freedoms that we have here in the USA. And may I say, I thank God for the freedoms that we have here in the USA. I see things beginning to diminish a little bit here, a little bit there, and it's making a greater hole as we're seeing a wholer picture. But can I tell you, I still believe the greatest place to live in the world is the United States of America. And I think that we ought to keep it that way. One of the ways that we keep it that way is remembering. Now, when I speak this morning, I don't want to speak only about remembering those that have given their lives, those that have fallen in the line of service, but I want to talk about remembering those that's alive and well as well. You know, sometimes we have difficulty in remembering. There was a rancher that had just a great herd dog. I mean, the dog was just a great herd dog, and I'm telling you, he could turn that dog loose, and that dog would run out. He'd gather up the cattle, and that rancher would open that gate, and that herding dog would push those cows into that corral, and then that dog would jump up and push that gate, and they would jump back up, and he hit the handle, and it would latch it. And so this visitor that was visiting one day saw that happening, and he said, "That's amazing." He was visiting, he was from the city, and he said, "That's amazing, I've never seen that happen before." And he said, "What's the name of that dog?" And the man looked, and he said, "You know, let me ask you something." He said, "There's a flower that has thorns on it, beautiful flower." He said, "What's that flower called?" He said, "Rose, that's called Rose." He looked at his wife and said, "Rose, let me ask you a question, what's the name of that dog?" He had trouble remembering his wife's name and had trouble remembering the dog's name. And can I tell you, sometimes we have trouble remembering things. You ever do this? You ever put the car keys down, forget where you put them? Have you ever done this? Have you ever put your phone down and you had to get somebody else to call it, hoping that it was not on vibrate or in a place where you could not hear it vibrating so that you could find the phone? You ever do this? You ever be driving home and in the midst of driving home, you forgot where you lived? You ever did that? You ever did that? Have you ever left home and you were driving someplace else and you forgot where you were going? Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to the grocery store and you knew when you left the house what you were going for? By the time you got to the grocery store, you couldn't remember what you went for? You ever done that? Have you ever misplaced one of your children? You ever done that? Have you ever wished you would have misplaced one of your children? Have you ever done that? We had a friend in Mississippi many years ago, and he was a dear brother. I'm not going to mention his name, but he had several children. And one day, he was walking down the hallway, and he was going to Sunday school. And as he was heading to Sunday school, I shook his hand, and I said, "How's everything going?" He said, "Great." I said, "How's your children?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I think I left one behind." I said, "What do you mean you think you left one behind?" He said, "I think I left one behind." So he got in his car, and sure enough, his six-year-old son was walking down the highway coming to church all by himself. He forgot his kid. You say, "Oh, it couldn't happen to me." It's happened to me before. We were in Mississippi. You remember that, honey? We're in Mississippi. We were eating, and Jared, I think it was Jared, right? Do I remember it right? Jared had gone to the restroom. Huh? We've done it more than once. Don't you love it when the wife ruins the sermon? I was only going to make us look a little bad. But I remember down in Mississippi, you know, honestly, we were eating someplace, this fast food restaurant. This is one that sticks out in my mind. And we were eating in a fast food restaurant, and Jared had gone into the bathroom. Now, Jared was a teenager, but he had gone into the bathroom, and we thought, okay, that maybe he found, there was a bunch of us church people there, so we thought he found his own way home. You know, and so we thought, okay, he just caught a ride with somebody, didn't tell us. I mean, sometimes teenagers do that. And so we thought, you know, he didn't tell us. And so we got in the car, we took off. We got home, you know, we'd already kicked our shoes off, getting ready to just kind of relax around the house. All of a sudden, the phone rings. Jared's on the other end. He said, "Why'd you leave me? Why'd you leave me?" So sometimes we forget things. Sometimes we forget things that we ought to remember. Albert Einstein, they called him the genius thinker. One day he decided to relocate his home. He moved it up to the Institute of Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. And Albert Einstein didn't want anybody to know where he lived, but he lived on the property there at Princeton. One day he called the secretary and he said, "Does Albert Einstein live there?" She said, "I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to give that information." "Well, ma'am," he said, "just tell me where he lives." "I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to give that information." "Ma'am, this is very, very important. I need the address of Albert Einstein." "I'm sorry, sir," she insisted. "I'm not allowed to give that information." He lowered his voice in a whisper and he said, "This is Dr. Einstein. He said, I forgot his name. "This is Dr. Einstein." He said, "I just need to know where I live." He'd forgotten that he relocated and where he lived. Can I tell you, people forget things. There was a commuter train there in the station there. A policeman came up. This was in New York City. And he saw this woman over there. It looked like she was panicking. She had her head on her steering wheel. And she was going back and forth and back and forth. She looked like she was in a panic. Walked over to her. She had tears coming down her face. And she started to laugh. And he said, "Well, what's wrong? You look like you're just emotionally distraught. What's wrong?" She said, "Well, it's not sad, but it's not funny. I've been bringing my husband to the same transit station for the past 10 years. I got in a hurry this morning, got in the car, drove all the way here, only to remember I forgot my husband." Sometimes we forget things. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible said, "Blessed be God," it says, "even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort." We ought never forget what God has done for us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble." It says, "and by comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." One of the ways to be able to help others is to be able to make sure that they're comforted during times of distress, to be able to encourage them. And Memorial Day weekend is that way. You heard Brother Wislowski get up and he said, "You know, some of you are sitting out here and you've lost a dad, you've lost a granddad, you lost the privilege of having that person in your life because they laid down their life, making sure that you and I could have the freedoms and the liberties that we now have as citizens of the United States. It's a time to be able to look back and be able to remember those that have been discomforted, that has had a horrible time, that has had some injustices in some cases levied against them. And can I tell you that we ought to remember the sacrifices of people that laid down their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we enjoy today. Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 3, again as I read it, he says, "let nothing be done," it says, "through strife and vainglory," but it says, "in lowliness of mind," it says, "let each esteem other better than themselves." You know, to be able to look out and to be able to say, "I tell you what, I appreciate what you have done. I appreciate the sacrifice that you have made." What sacrifice has people made? Well, again, looking at Memorial Day, the people that have laid their lives down so that we can be able to have the freedoms. You know, it might be good someday just to go by and look at the graves of those that laid their lives down so that we could have the freedoms that we have today. And think about those people, real, living, individuals. The other day it was pouring down rain, and I was thinking back to the Civil War, and I thought, you know, I wonder what those guys would be doing on a day like today. Wonder what they would be doing. I was thinking we were camping out. We had a men and boys camp out. And can I tell you, the storm set in, the rain came. I mean, it was pouring down rain. And here we are, we're out in the woods. I mean, here we are, we're out in the woods, and rain is pouring down. And as I was huddled up with about 15 other guys underneath a pavilion there that only really was built for about six people, and about 15 of us is all huddled in there. You know, we're real men, all huddled in there. And man, the rain is pouring down. I was thinking, man, if this was during the Civil War days, when they had to live out in the woods to be able to fight, to be able to survive, I wonder what it would have been like if this was those guys that was fighting over in different areas around the world and they were in the forestry like we're in. I wonder what it would be like. Can I tell you, there's been some great sacrifices that's been made. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 4, it says, look not every man to his own things. Sometimes we have to realize that others have made sacrifices. That's why I say when you see a police officer, hey, don't give him grief. Treat him to something. Treat him to a burger. Buy him his favorite drink. Hey, they're getting a lot of grief around, but thank God for those that's in forces like that that protect their society. Thank God for that. Hey, when you see somebody and all of a sudden now they're rushing through an airport, they're in a Marine uniform, maybe they're in an Army uniform or maybe one of the other branches of service. Hey, give them, when they get to the place, maybe a seat and say, sir, I realize you just ran through to get here and I see, why don't you have a seat? Why don't you take and do something for others that has sacrificed for you and I? Here's what we understand. He says now, he says, look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Let me give you some statements. Statement number one, remember people in death. Remember people in death. Well, I remember my granddaddy, we called him Pop, lived next door. My dad had this idea that he bought all this land, and he said, okay, first house I'm going to build is for my dad. So my dad built my dad a house. We lived in a ranch home, and we had acreage in between us, and he said, I want to build my dad a house. My grandfather, Pop, he drove for Bethlehem Steel, drove a truck all of his life down in Baltimore City, Maryland. And so my dad said, you paid a big price. He said, you raised me, you took good care of me, you taught me values. It's my turn. I want to do something for you. And so what he did is he, on the acreage that we had bought a lot of acreage, there was a field in between our house and Pop's house, and my dad took the money, took the effort, paid the expense, and bought and paid for and built his own dad a home. My dad had this vision. We were going to call it the Wells Valley. I remember him telling me about this. The Wells Valley. And his vision was that all the guys are going to get married and we're all going to build houses right around my dad's house. I mean, that was his vision. Now, can I tell you, when it came time to remembering Pop, I remember Pop. I never will forget this. Pop was not a saved man. Not saved, did not know Christ, never received Jesus Christ as Savior. Broke my heart after I got saved and I realized that according to his wife that was left behind, that he just had never received Christ. But I remember Pop dying. I was there that day. Mom was an Avon salesperson, and she was out selling Avon. Dad was working down at the Maryland National Bank where he worked down in Baltimore City. And I remember my Pop, my dad, Pop always wanted to take care of our land, but he always wanted a tractor. It seemed like everything that Pop wanted, Dad bought. That was the relationship that they had. If Pop mentioned something, Dad would buy it. He'd just save up and buy it. He just loved his dad. And so I remember Pop mentioned, man, I'd love to have a John Deere tractor. Love to have a John Deere tractor. So Dad saved up, bought him a John Deere tractor. And so I remember the day Mom was out selling Avon. I was 9 years old. Never will forget the day. 9 years old, Mom's out selling Avon, Dad's down working at Maryland National Bank. I saw Pop doing what he always did, got on the tractor early in the morning, would head down to the south field. It was disking time, so he was going to disk the field. So he already had the disk connected up to the back of the John Deere tractor, got on it, started it up, started to head down. We had a valley area, so he's starting to head down to the south field that you could see from the kitchen of my mom's kitchen. And I looked out, and Pop had fallen off of the tractor. Tractor was still in full motion, heading down to the south field. Never will forget, nine-year-old boy, I didn't know much, but I knew Pop was in trouble. So I ran out of the house as fast as I could, ran down to the south field as fast as I could. Pop's laying on the ground, face is turning purple. I picked his head up, put it in my lap, didn't know what to do, didn't have cell phones back then. Everybody's gone. His wife had gone to the store. Everybody's gone. And I never will forget that day, Pop having a heart attack and dying in the lap of a nine-year-old grandson. Never will forget that. Now, wait a minute. There's things I remember about Pop. I remember him telling me about how he fought in World War II. I remember that. I remember him telling the stories, how he was in the dugout. I remember that. I remember him telling stories about what it was like to be able to drive a truck all over America representing what he considered the greatest company in the world to work for, Bethlehem Steel. I remember all of those stories. Can I tell you, sometimes we ought to remember how good God has been to us because he's allowed people to come in our life. You know, people, you can learn so many things from people that God brings across your path. And you can remember those things that they brought into your life to be able to teach you and to be able to help you to understand. And I remind kids all the time, your mom and your dad's not going to be with you forever. You ought to thank God for them, take advantage of them, get to know them, pick their mind, pick their brain, watch their life, let them mentor you, let them train you, help you, govern you, guide you, give you wisdom, guard you. Hey, I'm saying you ought to remember those that have passed off of the scene. The Bible says over in John chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, and a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Now get the story. Very good story. The Bible says a certain man was sick named Lazarus. It says of Bethany. And in the town, it says of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was, it says that Mary hath anointed the Lord with oil and wiped his feet with her hair. It says, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So here was a lady that gave sacrificially to the Lord. He knew the family well. This was a family that Jesus Christ was very heavily associated with. The Bible says in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, it says, he whom thou lovest is sick. So they're connected deeply. Lazarus was just not somebody that the Lord knew, wasn't somebody that the Lord had an acquaintance with. The Bible says, the one that thou lovest. Hey, Lord, you remember him? The day when she was coming over, the sister, and wiping your feet with her hair. Remember, she had the brother. You remember Lazarus? He knew him by name, knew where he lived, knew what he did for a living, knew everything about him. Now all of a sudden the word comes. You remember that one that you love so deeply, he's dead. The Bible says, and when Jesus heard, verse 4 of chapter 11 in John, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. And the Bible says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, there's something about just remembering those that have paid a great price. I listened to Brother Wislowski as he got up and read that, my heart went out. Almost felt like I was attending a funeral. Did you feel that way? I almost felt like, man, there was somebody I loved that I missed. And by the way, listen to me. We ought to remember those. Now, let me give you one more thing to think about today, and I'm done. You ready? So remember people in death. Statement number two, remember people in life. Now, this is my favorite part. Don't wait till they die. Amen. Don't you hate it? You walk. I see it all the time. You know how many funerals I preached in 32 years of preaching? You know how many funerals I preached? A bunch. You hear almost the same thing. People walk by the casket. Here's what they say. They look at the person lying in state. They look at them and they say, oh, don't they look natural? I never heard anybody say, boy, they sure do look unnatural. They don't say that. Here's what they say. They walk by the casket and they say, wow, they look good. That's what they say. I've heard people say this, man, they never look better than today. I don't think I'd say that if I was at a funeral. I wouldn't say, you know, now, so you got to be careful what you say, but here's what I do find out. I find out that nobody talks bad normally about another person at a funeral. Now, wouldn't that be good if we did that today? Wouldn't it be good if we picked up the same thing today? Wouldn't that be good if we had the same mannerisms about the living as we do about the dead? Okay, so pretend that Mama is lying there, but she's not dead. She's just laying there. And I don't know of any mother that would have the sense about her that would choose to buy a casket and just lay in it. Something morbid and unright about that. But can you imagine, here Mom is, and you walk by, and Mom says, or you look at Mom and you say, wow, you look good. Mom opens her eyes and says, thank you. Now, I want to tell you something. You ought to remember the living before they die. What would be wrong with telling your mom that she looks good today? Hey, what would be wrong, friend, with telling your wife that she's got a nice dress on, looks beautiful, a beautiful hairdo, hold on, whatever, today? What would be wrong with that? Hey, what would be wrong with going up to your husband today and say, man, I just want to tell you, you are a hunk. Now, don't tell him hunk of what. But what would be wrong with encouraging today? Today, your husband's a Sunday school teacher. You sit there. He's had a hard time this morning. Man, you sit there all through Sunday school. You heard him teach, and you're just praying, God, help him through. But wait a minute. First off, he knows he blew it. He knows he struggled to swim, and he sank four times. He knows it. You don't have to go home today and say, well, honey, I just want to let you know, that was probably one of the worst Sunday school lessons you ever taught in your life. You could say, hey, honey, let me tell you, here's what I got. When you were teaching, I got this out of it, got this out of it. Hey, that was very good what you did right there. That was excellent. Thank you for pointing that out. Never would have saw that without you. You ought to amen there. Hey, I'm saying, look, hey, remember the people that are alive. Remember the people that are living. You try to be an inspiration. You try to be a help. You try to be an encouragement. You try to be that motivator. You try and be that inspirationalist that's in their life. You try to help them. Look, can I tell you, if you're married today, you ought to thank God for it. If you got children today, you ought to thank God for them. If somebody loves you enough to be your friend today, you ought to thank God for it. Not everything is gloom and doom. Can I tell you, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're going to heaven, you'll be with God. If you're going to be with God, it's a perfect place. Can I tell you, it's not all that bad. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and Jesus went about, it says, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing those in every sickness and disease among the people. And listen, it says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What was he doing? He was noticing their needs. You can always reach out and help somebody. Well, you know, I've not been coming to church that long. Parkside Baptist Church is new to me, but you can still help somebody. See somebody in the hallway, get the goober smile, get the handshake, put it out there, shake the hand, say a couple words, glad to see you. Glad to see you. Hope you come back. Glad you're here. Come on. You know what I find out today? People need to be encouraged. You kick somebody hard enough, long enough, I tell you, they don't want to get up. We need some encouraging voices around America that says, yes, you can do it. Yes, you can make it. God is good. God can answer prayer. God can come through to you. We can have a good marriage. We can raise godly kids. We can make it to the end. It's going to be okay. We will grow old together. We will gum each other to death when we get old. Hey, it's going to be a great day ahead. You don't have to live in misery. You don't have to live in despair. You don't have to live in darkness. You can decide that you can make it if you want to make it. I'm saying remember those that are living. When's the last time you looked at your dad and said, thank you for being dad? When's the last time you looked at your dear mother and said, I want one mother other than you? We did something in Tennessee. We'd never done it here, I don't think. When I pastored in Tennessee, we had a day every year. We called it Flowers for the Living. I'd bring all sorts of carnations up, buckets, hundreds and hundreds of carnations. Have buckets full all in front of the pulpit. Here's what I told the people. You pick out somebody that's meant something to you. Want it to be a lady, young lady, somebody that means something to you. Here's what I want you to do. Invitation time. Come up and get a carnation. Go give it to them and tell them, thank you. And why you're giving it to them. We had dear ladies in the church receive the flower that day. Some of them, by the way, only one. Only one. I'll be out in the lobby with my wife like I normally do here, shake hands with people as they leave. We have people that was leaving the church that day. Some ladies in their 50s, 60s, 70s, only one carnation. Now wait, watch this if you will. Some of them were coming out with bundles, bundles. But everybody was thankful. You know what that did? That drew our church together. Even the one that just had the one carnation was saying, I thank God I have a friend that recognized me. Thank God I had one friend that just loved me. That's great. That's great. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you, we need to recognize those that are still living today. Helen Keller, was she born blind? Did she become blind? Blind lady. Here's what she said. She said this, to be blind is bad. But worse than being blind is having eyes that cannot see. It's true. Somebody said this, we cannot heal the wounds of others that we cannot feel. It's true. Preacher was studying one day, entrenched in his sermon. We went over yesterday to see Ryan and Charity get married. Beautiful wedding. Married in her relative's church. Beautiful ceremony. Afterwards, we ate beautiful food. Got in the car, went home. Preparing the message, working on two sermons. My daughter and I looked at each other and we decided we wanted to be able to spend some time together. So when it came time, she was upstairs, took her shower, came downstairs, lit on the computer, went shut. We're just able to spend time together. Hey, can I tell you, remember the living. Remember the living. You're not going to always have your kids. Remember the living. Your kids are going to talk to somebody, it should be you. Remember the living. There's a pastor, he was in his study. Here's what happened. He's working on a sermon, little boy. His son walked into the room. He's age 5. Goes up to daddy and says, "Daddy, daddy, I got a boo-boo. It hurts bad." Daddy looked up at him, just at a glance, very impatient tone, said, "I can't help you, honey. Go away. I'm busy." Kid was exiting outside of his daddy's library and study. As he's exiting out, he said, "Dad, you could at least said, I'm sorry." Went away with a broken heart. Can I tell you, it don't always have to be that way. A young man was traveling. He saw the sale. It was puppies for sale. He wanted a puppy so bad. They were for sale. He entered in. He said, "How much is the puppy?" Man said, $25. "I've got 8 of them. $25. Got 8 of them. He said, "Which one do you want?" He said, "Sir, all I have is $2.50, but I'd sure like to have one of those puppies." The man said, "They're $25 a piece, son. That's all there is." He said, "What about that one over there? It's kind of walking with a limp, all by himself, not a part of the group. What about him?" "Oh," he said, "he's not worth anything. If you want him, you can have him, but he'll always limp." Little boy pulled up his pant leg. Said, "See the brace? I'll always limp too." He said, "You can have the puppy." Sold him the puppy for $2.50. Here's what the boy said later, 10 years in his journal. "Later, we learned to limp through life together." Can I tell you, remember those that are alive. Years ago, somebody wrote this. Said that the guy that was the founder of the Salvation Army was summoned to that which was an international convention to give a speech. General William Booth wasn't able to attend. He was physically drained and weakened by a problem he was having, acquainted with some old age things that was coming on. So he cabled back to the convention his message that was supposed to be read for the evening. Here's what it read: others. Others. One word: others. This was penned years ago. "Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Lord, help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I've done or will do for you must be to reach the needs of others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep in all the vain. May efforts be to rise again unless we live for others. And when all my work on earth is done and a new work in heaven is begun, I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this motto be. Help me, Lord, to live for others that I may live like thee." Hey, it's a great day to remember others. It's a great day to be able to step out and say, "Look, I'll tell you what, I don't have to be selfish today. I don't have to be such a hurry to get out of the church house that I can't shake somebody's hand and say, good to see you, neighbor. I don't have to be in such a big hurry today that if I see a vet that's struggling along the way, I can't stop and encourage him. I don't have to be in such a big hurry today that I just can't take the time to look at a dear mother, look at a dear dad, look at my kids, and just say, I appreciate you, I love you, thank God for you." Others. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.